welcome to the Only in Rugby League podcast, where we discuss all things rugby league with me, Callum.
With me, Bobby.
And me, Andy.
And still, EM62 and beyond.
Hello.
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 Another week.
Another podcast.
There you go.
Well, first thing I think we have to say, Bobby, is...
Oh, yeah.
Happy birthday!
Steve.
Callum.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah?
Yep.
Another year gone. Another year in rugby league.
That's how committed I am. It's my birthday. It still turned up.
You know? That's commitment, isn't it?
31. Ugh.
Bobby won. Bobby has a birthday month, doesn't he? He doesn't do anything for the entire month.
You're not working on nothing. Can you just sort them out? It's my birthday month.
It's my birthday in 14 days.
And that's how he says it as well, isn't it? It's my birthday month.
I don't have a birthday month at all.
It went from a birthday to a birthday weekend to a birthday week. To a birthday month. It's bigger than Christmas.
I might have a birthday weekend. That is about it. That is the limit.
And when his birthday's on Monday, it carries on for the weekend after.
I can't have a birthday month because it's the same as Chris. It's the same month as Christmas.
That's what I'm saying. It's bigger than Christmas. Mm. It's Christmas soon. Yeah, it's my birthday though.
Don't forget
my birthday.
Well, yeah, but how else would anyone know?
Yeah.
And just in case you don't know, 10th of December, put it in your calendar.
Well, that's took some gloss off Callum's birthday, hasn't it?
Used to it now.
Yeah. Tell us about your game at weekend, Callum.
Played.
Yeah, and I know you lost, but there was a bigger issue, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah, Callum was knocked out, but due to like, shall we say, a lack of protocols in the community game. And he wouldn't have passed his HIA. They then got another injury about 5 minutes late when he had to go back on, didn't you?
Yeah, I wouldn't say knocked out.
What was it then?
Just went black for a couple of seconds.
Would you have passed your HIA?
Yeah.
You wouldn't though, would you?
Yeah. Straight back on.
Is Mark Percival'd it?
It wasn't a good day all round, to be honest. My leg went, my muscle, my hip flexor went. I had to come off, and then I went back on, just powered through because I'm such a team player.
didn't you tell me that one of the opposition's brothers tried to like fight the team or something?
No,
or?
It kicked off a bit, and one of our players' brothers, I think, ran on.
Oh, okay.
The fans ran on and everything. It was brilliant.
Bring back the biff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Community rugby league at its best, isn't it? Wow.
It was excellent.
Oh dear.
I was hobbling on the pitch.
How coming?
Anything else?
Bobby had his wedding rehearsal, didn't you, on Sunday?
We have to do the big news of the week. It's Bobby's wedding this week, isn't it?
Yeah. Birthday Trump wedding.
Yes. I think so.
I have to share the wedding, so.
Yeah. Anyway, go on.
Obviously, I went to it
because
I had to know what I was doing.
Yeah.
And there was stood there, and the vicar Steve was like, and then you say this, Bobby, repeat after me, blah, blah. And there was just silence. And he went, Bobby, your bit, you know, repeat after me. He went, oh, sorry, Steve, I was miles away.
Always thinking about stats. That's Bobby.
I was trying to remember something in my head, and I was like trying to train it to remember it on the actual day, and I just completely zoned out. And then I was like, sorry, what?
Yeah, because before that, he went, Bobby, take your right hand and take Katrina's right hand. And he grabbed her left hand.
Yeah. He's dyslexic.
He went like that, you know, with your fingers. L. Left.
Maybe you should write it on your hand, like, you know, like on the day. Just write L and R on the or on your shoes or something, you know.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
He already has them on his socks.
That's true. Oh, well, what have we got on tonight then?
We've got the Super League review, stats of the week, NRL. Talk to me about, obviously, only in rugby league, the predictions league, and then that will see us out.
Okie dokie.
So we will jump straight into it.
There's so much to love about rugby league in this part of the world, and more than just the pork rolls at Warrington and the pies at Wigan. There's tradition and history and great grounds and great fans. And then there's the weather. And if you don't like it, well, you just have to put up with it. Tough titties.
Yes, as Callum said, it is our Super League review. And we're into round 9 already. Let's start over at the Jungle, where Castleford took on the London Broncos. And they came away 40 points to nil victors.
Sort of running out of ways to describe London games at the minute. I thought it might have been a bit closer.
You're looking at the Cass game and the Hull game, and you're thinking they're the best chances of getting a win. But 40 points is a crushing blow.
I think so as well.
They're going to end up on nil points, aren't they? Nil points. It's going to be like Eurovision Song Contest, isn't it? Nil points, isn't it?
Yeah.
London in Eurovision. It could represent UK in Eurovision.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just...
If they happen to strike it lucky where we've said in the past, you know, with like Wakefield or something, you know, like last season, they might strike it lucky where they get a...
Not that one with Michael Barrymore.
I'll go to his house.
Yeah. Okay. No.
I'll go swimming in his pool. No. London might get a bit lucky in there. Oh, laugh makes me go. I can't.
Come on, splish splash, carry on.
London might get lucky in the sense that if they get a team either side of maybe like the Challenge Cup final, if they decide to, you know, rest players the week before, or if they got the winner of the final the week after, it's happened before where you tend to see that. But
okay, I've got two questions for you then. Bearing in mind what you've just said, yeah. Would a Super League reserve side beat London?
No.
No, I don't think so.
Would an academy side beat London?
No. No.
You're having to think about it, though, aren't you?
I think they might get pushed.
I think what that comes down to is just the like physicality of it. So, like, the London guys, the London players, the men, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're boys.
Which is pretty much what we were talking about last week review when Saints played Hull, wasn't it?
Mm. Yeah, exactly.
So it was like that, the physicality of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think at the moment, I mean, we're a third of the way through the season now already. And they've just... I can see them breaking all sorts of record for the wrong reasons at the minute.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they've had one closed game against Hull, which on another day they probably should have and could have won. Apart from that, they've... Oh, having said that, they ran Salford close, didn't they, a couple of weeks ago, or last week?
Last week, yeah.
Apart from that, they've not really ever been in it, I don't think.
There'd be other championship sides that were doing a better job at the minute if they were in their position, I think.
I said earlier on in the season, like, the fact that they got to Super League is a miracle, and it's an incredible story, and they've done incredibly well to get where they are. But they're not even a top-level champion. They're not a top championship team. They're a mid-table championship team.
They had a great run and did really well. Yeah. You can't take that away from him. Yeah, yeah, unfortunately.
And unfortunately, the gulf in difference is just massive.
Yeah. What I do hope is that this season, the money that they will get for this season through playing in Super League, I'm hoping will help them build for the future.
Yeah, I hope so.
I think that's the best thing that probably can come out of this season for London, I think.
And I really hope
that's the case.
You know, I don't think they came in with any expectations, did they? And...
No.
I think they're just sort of like happy to be there and go try hard. A couple of players will want to put themselves in shop windows, that sort of thing. And
yeah.
You know, I really like London and I really hope they do well. I always want them to do well. And like you say, I think the best thing for them is to get the money that they've got from playing in Super League and use that to strengthen them as a club and as a whole.
And they've invited us down to do the pod live from London.
Yeah, I mean, they're brilliant. They do loads of good work off the pitch.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, they've had... And there is a pool of players there. You look at the players that have come through, like the Broncos system, off the top of my head, doing McCarthy, Scarsbrook, Kai Pearce, Paul. That's the, you know, them sort of players. There is talent there.
They had other good players, like Luke Dawn. They had there at one time.
Yeah, I'm talking about like London.
Oh, London-based players. Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah. But I'd say what was really good to see was, I mean, I know, like you said, you can say, oh, they've only beat London, and I don't mean it in that way. But how enthusiastic were the Castleford fans at this? Like, you know,
yeah,
the cheers for every try, because they've not had a lot to cheer about.
You've got to take them when you get them.
Absolutely. Yeah. And they were like absolutely over the moon, the Castleford fans, about the way that, you know, the way that they went about this business.
Yeah.
And that's good to see as well, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not getting into it now, but I do think that, like, there's teams that have pretty much ignored the on-the-field stuff to concentrate on the IMG scores.
Mm.
I can think of the bottom three for a start.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think... You know, and I think that's
London,
and that's 25% of the league.
You mean?
Yeah,
yeah, or including London,
Right. Might be more if you take everything else, but you know what I'm saying. It's just, you know, the on the field stuff is secondary at the minute for teams getting a license, and that makes a mockery of the league in some respects.
Yeah,
but that's a different discussion. But it was good to see Castleford's fans really in good voice, I thought, on Friday.
Yeah, definitely. Just before we move on from that, I just wanted to ask, you know, with Castleford as a team, you look at the scoreline and you see 40-0 and you think that's going to do them the world of good.
Mm.
Do you think, from a Castleford's perspective, though, 40-0 was good enough considering they were 30-0 up at half-time? Do you think it's just a case of they did what every other team did in Super League and took the foot off the gas? Or do you think maybe... From that point of view, do you think Castleford being towards the bottom of the league maybe should have put a bit more on them, knowing that they were already 30-0 up at half-time? Do you know where I'm coming from with that?
Yeah, no, I think the first one. I think they've won the game, they've done what they have to do, they'll be pleased with the nil.
Mm.
You know, they probably made, I think they made several, I was trying to watch a few games at once. They were making several changes, going through some different routines and things like that. So I think... You know, and probably a bit of credit to Londoners in the second half as well, that they've worked, you know, they've worked hard as well in the second half to keep the score down.
Mm. Yeah, fair enough. Oh, yeah. Okay, well, moving on to the Lee Sports Village, where Lee came away with a tremendous win, 30-2 over the Catalan Dragons.
I mean, incredible, really.
It's been coming.
It has. It has been coming. They've struggled, haven't they, to get a win? But they've ran a lot of teams very, very close. And, you know, another season gone by, they could be top of the league. Like, if them results go the other way.
Two factors. Catalan's missing a few. And the return of John Asiata.
Yeah, I mean, he's captain, isn't he, for Lee?
Can you underestimate that? I mean, can one player make that much of a difference?
I don't think...
Is it just his presence on the field that's lifted the whole squad, you know?
That's what it is, I think. I think that one player can make a difference, but not a loose forward.
Mm.
Or not a loose forward.
It's a presence.
Yeah.
It's a man, it's a presence.
It's his leadership, and the captain's like... And they'll feel like... We've got him back, and they'll have the tails up, won't they?
Yeah,
so I think that's what it is. As good a player as he is, it is more the captain side of thing and the leadership and steering. I think when they get a Pappy back as well, that'll be
another a similar level bonus.
He's instrumental for them.
You know, if Johnny Asiata's added 10% on, then a Pappy will add another 10% on.
Yeah,
to what they've done.
But you know what's really impressive is they've basically kept Catalan to nil, haven't they?
Yeah.
Mm. Like they've not let them score a try.
No, I think they got
one penalty kick near half time.
I was just going to say they took the two because it was near half time. Yeah.
So they've essentially nilled them.
Yeah.
Which is incredible, really.
Yeah, the way they've been playing, the way we've praised their skills at getting overlaps in and getting numbers on edges.
Yeah.
And the way that they've gone, that sort of, that Morg, Davis, Johnson triangle, adding in numbers. We've been really praising of that, haven't we, in the last few weeks. And they've shut that down. And it was Lee that were doing that. The ball out to Charnley again. All of a sudden, they've got 3-on-1. Mm. And Lee are a really good team to watch when they do that, when they get the ball out wide quickly.
Yeah, they play some nice stuff, and they've got a lot of classy players like Moylan, Lamb, Charnley.
Yeah.
Lutelli, Hardacre on the other side, you know. They've got a really strong three-quarter line.
Definitely. I think, like you said, Ipapi will be another bonus for them. Do you see them now making a run into the top six? We're only a third of the way through the season. There's another 18 games to go yet. That's a lot of points to play for. Even if you're, you know, 6 or 8 points down in the top six at the minute, that's easily caught up over over that number of games, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think with the return of, with the return of Amoan maybe a couple of weeks ago, now Asiata, and then when Ipapi returns, you know, we said last season, didn't we, that Lee were blessed with a good squad and no injuries, really.
Yeah.
This year they've started off a squad with injuries, and you can see that it's damaged them.
Yeah.
You're getting this full-strength Lee side that you had last season with no injuries, and they'll be right back up there.
Yeah.
I don't see why not.
Yeah.
I will they make the playoffs? I don't know. There's a lot of strong outfits this season that could potentially just nudge them out. Mm. But, you know, I think you're going to see a good, strong, competitive Lee side. I think this is their turning point, and I think we've said this for a number of weeks now. We had them 16-0 up against Leeds, and they blew that. They pushed Warrington really close last week. They've pushed a number of teams really close. I think this is their turning point now, and this could be a real kick-on point in their season.
Yeah, Catalan's just a bad day at the office, and they'll write that off quickly, I think, won't they, Callum?
Yeah, I think so.
A tough game this week. They play Wigan this week.
Yeah, and, you know, maybe it's a decent game to jump into after a loss, you know, because you want to prove it was just a one-off.
Yeah,
they'll want that game to come around really quickly because they'll want to prove people wrong and
get back on track,
and say, yeah.
it was
just a blip. We'll turn things around. This is who we really are.
Yeah.
So it might be a decent game for them to have, as strange as that sounds.
Yeah.
Yep. Let's move on to Hull FC, who found themselves on yet another loss, 18 points to 12 in favour of the Leeds Rhinos.
Don't really know which way to swing this.
Mm. As in promising green shoots of recovery for Hull or a poor performance from Leeds, is that what you mean?
Yeah. I know Leeds didn't have the strongest lineup.
All as I know is there's about a 12-year-old ref.
I think Leeds had a 12-year-old winger who got man of the match.
Who scored that Riley Lum? Yeah.
He was the only saving grace for them, I thought.
Yeah. So he was the best 12-year-old on the pitch.
Yeah.
Where the referees were the second best 12-year-old.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I only saw the highlights of this game, to be honest. Brody Croft looked okay from what I saw. He got 2 try assists. He had the kick for Lum's second and a short pass, which is a great pass, deceiving pass to Cam Smith for his try.
Mm.
But I can only go off what I saw.
I would go. So we've just said about Lee.
Mm.
And we've said about, can Lee make a push into the playoffs?
Yeah.
I know we're only a third of the way through, but we just asked that question. At the minute, the bottom four sides to me in the league are London, Hull, Castleford, and then Leeds.
Okay.
I think there's a big, I think there's a big gap between the other eight and those four. At the minute.
At the minute, Yeah, you're probably right.
So what are you saying about, is it green shoots of recovery or is it a poor performance? I actually think it's neither. I think it's two poor sides of the bottom four that have had a close game. That's the way that I see it.
Yeah. Friend of the pod, Jordan, dubbed this game El Crapico. He did say I could use that, so I have done.
But I think he's right.
Yeah.
I think he's exactly right.
Yeah.
which seems odd when you think a club the size... I mean, don't get me wrong, a club the size of Eddie, but doesn't guarantee... If you're a big club, doesn't guarantee success.
No, it doesn't.
You know? So said Eric Ten Hag. Right? Doesn't guarantee you any success.
He said era's come to an end at one point.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I got mixed up with what he said, yeah. Oh, yeah. Right? But... Then, on the back of that, Leeds have paid substantial amounts of money and signed big players like Brody Croft.
And, yeah.
Brody Croft, at the minute, is half the player he was at Salford.
Yeah.
Well, so was Andy Akers.
I remember when they signed Akers and Croft.
And Momorowski.
A lot of Leeds fans were like, well, we're going to win it all.
Eddie and Reese on the Lot Pod, they spoke to us. We had chats with them, didn't we, off the pod. And they were like, give us everything now and we're going to win another treble.
Yeah, they you know, there was a lot of high hopes and we're going to finish top, we'll win this, we'll win that. Like, and it's... I think his time's coming to an end, unfortunately, Rowan Smith.
So when it does come to an end, and it will.
Yeah.
It will, because they can't go on like that. I think the murmurs from the crowd get bigger every week.
Yeah.
Murmurs? They were chanting it this week.
And that's in a win.
They were, I mean, Rowan Smith's come out and addressed the fact that he was basically chanted out to get out of the club. It can't be good as a head coach to be sat there watching a game and hearing your name being chanted to get out of the club.
They play London this week coming up. You're talking about Castleford, when you were saying about the 30 points up, they need to put them to the sword, did they? Leeds do.
Yeah. If Leeds don't put 50 plus points on London, it's not a good day for
them. I was having a look at the betting, the handicap earlier. I like to have an early look in case there's a bit of a, you know, value, that's a banker. Yeah. London had a 30-point start. Would you be backing Leeds to win by more than 30? I don't think I'd be putting 20, 30 quid on it.
I know what
you mean.
I would back it, but you're right, I'd be a bit nervous about it.
Mm.
I'd be a bit nervous about it, but I think I would. But if it was 40, would you?
No.
It's interesting, isn't it? It's a really difficult situation. I think this for Leeds. I think all the Leeds fans are way. They know that they've got this squad. They've got this squad that's like got so much potential and so much talent. And probably thinking that it's being miscoached. And I wonder what would happen when they do make the change, because they will at some point.
They're going to have to.
But a minute, with this squad they've got, eighth is an absolute disgrace, in my opinion.
I completely agree. I mean, so they've got coming up, right? They've got London at home, Catalan away, St. Helens away. Cass at home, Hull away.
I think he might be gone after Saints away.
It could be, because you can't see them. You could see them getting past London and then having to go away to Catalan and St. Helens.
And then I think they could make a change, knowing that they've got those other two games coming up and a new start and 4 points out of four.
Yeah, because then they've got Cass, Hull, and then Lee. So which could be a really important game.
Exactly that. I think, you know, and then you're halfway through the season.
I think if they lose to Catalan and St. Helens, like you say, they're going to go, well, we need to do something before it's too late. Yeah.
What do you make of them this week, signing Ryan Hall for quite an unbelievable last hurrah, really?
Unbelievable.
I don't quite get it. I mean...
He's got a job with them after that season, hasn't he? We still could have had that.
Yeah. There's certain circumstances where you think, oh, I can understand that. This one I just don't get. Like, if you said to me, oh, he's not going to break the try-scoring record this year, so he's going back to Leeds for one last go, where it all started, so he's going to break the try. But I think he's only like three tries off the try-scoring record or something like that. I can't see him not scoring three tries for OKR this season.
No, I agree, yeah.
So I don't get it from that point of view, but, you know, then you throw in like, oh, maybe his experience, maybe he'll bring through, you know, maybe he'll teach a couple of the wingers down there. But
like Lewis Roberts and Riley Lum.
I get that, but then I'm like, you're just taking up a space that someone else could come in.
Type of winger to what he is anyway. I'm not saying he's got nothing to offer them.
He's more in the Vinicolo type of winger.
Yeah,
he's a sprinter build,
isn't he? But I think the only thing he's got going for him is that he's not really looked like slowing down, has he? He still looks pretty peak condition. Doesn't really seem to get injured all that much.
No.
The only question mark is, what's he going to be like after another birthday, after another pre-season?
Well, and the other thing I want to know off you is, does he play that much, or what does that say for either Handley or Fusitua?
I think it's more Fusitua because he is always injured.
Yeah,
so he's barely played for Leeds.
Do you think they'll part ways with him? And
yeah, they're not going to let Handley go.
No. Despite Hall being the five, I think they'll just switch Handley to the other side if they have to.
Which is what I was going to say, because they're both left wingers.
Well, isn't Handley captain as well?
Yeah, he was. Yeah,
no, they're let him.
It strikes me as though Handley could be the one that switches sides, because Hall's not going to switch sides at this stage in his career, I don't think.
No, but having said that, Ash Handley's like 28.
Unless Handley's contract is up, I don't know.
He's not going, surely.
If his contract is up, maybe he doesn't want to re-sign. Maybe it's him that wants to leave. I don't know.
I can't see that being true.
I can't, but I'm just trying to come up with a scenario where it kind of makes sense. I agree. I'm just seeing if it makes sense. But
well, finally on this game, we'll soon see if it's a green shoot of recovery for Hull, because they're away at Warrington this week. So we'll see what happens there, won't we?
Yeah.
Speaking of Warrington, we're going to go to their game next. And
we're not going to the other side of Hull.
No, I did it on purpose. We're going to go to Warrington next, where they were playing away at Salford and came away with a surprising loss, 17 points to 12 in favour of the Red Devils.
Good win.
It's a very good win. And I know Bobby said surprising loss, and maybe it is, but Salford have been playing some really good stuff.
They have.
Yeah, I didn't mean any disrespect to
Salford. I know what you're saying.
I just think the run of form that Warrington have been on, you know, putting
30, what are you giggling at?
You know, 30-odd points against St. Helens, I just thought it was a bit more, I thought it was going to go one way.
Because I watched this game and thought it could have been 1-0.
Right.
Right. Lafay's first try was the softest try you'll ever see. Right?
He's not there for tackling, is he?
No, he just kept like chugging along and like
Matt Duft his attempt. It's like, Ratchford's was just as bad. But yeah.
Exactly that, right? So then, Warrington's two tries was so soft, equally as soft as the Lafay try.
Yeah.
Then there was the penalty try that I thought Meller sort of ground. Not the penalty try. The one that Meller.
Oh, from nine, yeah.
Yeah, where he sort of grounded it against the post. It's not rugby union, right? You have to put it on the ground, right? Which was like, to me, I thought, there's no way he's got that down. He's like, it's up on the post, and then all of a sudden it's down. And I'm like, nah, he's lost that. So it's still nil. It's still 1-0 at half time because it's need to drop goal.
right.
And then the penalty try.
Mm.
We seem to give more penalty tries out nowadays than we ever used to. There was a really reluctance at one time to give penalty tries because they had this thing about saying, well, you've got to be 100% sure.
I think that was definitely a penalty try.
Right. I'm not so sure that's 100%. He's got balls in the air. He's still got to get there and ground that when the ball's in the air. It's not like bobbling along the ground and he just puts his hand on it. It's 1-0. Salford still win, but it's 1-0.
Right. And what about Warrington's tries?
I've just said then, they got two, didn't they?
Yeah.
And they were the softest drop. One, I can't, the prop went through. It was the prop that went through.
Oh, the Harrison.
Yeah.
Harrison drive.
That was, and I can't remember
the it was. One. I thought that was forward as well.
Yeah, so that's disallowed. That there you go.
And then the Williams one.
Yeah, again.
I thought he could have just knocked it out.
Yeah,
again. He should have just knocked it out.
So
silly play from Brayley, that.
So there you go, 1-0.
I'm just saying.
But that's some of the softest defence you'll see. In the league all season, bar London. And Hull.
And Cass.
And Leeds. Yeah. But you're right, in all seriousness, a good win for Salford. And again, we did say last week, they were only a short dropout away and a poor second half from being 7-1. Well, they now could have been 8-9. They could have been top of the league right now.
Yeah.
Which is incredible when you think about it. Absolutely incredible.
Yeah, definitely. I think you're right.
And
there was a...
Go on.
I was going to say, there was a nasty injury, weren't there, to Leon Hayes.
Oh,
see
yeah.
the picture?
Not nice.
A speedy recovery on that one.
Yeah, his ankle seemed to be facing the wrong way, I think, didn't it?
Yeah, but it didn't look good.
No.
He's been playing well as well. So.
Well, we were talking about that last week. Yeah. How he'd been given a chance and he'd been taking it. So hopefully he gets back to full fitness, really soon. And we wish him all the best.
Yeah,
definitely. I think Sam Burgess will be disappointed with certain aspects of Warrington's play there, though, won't he?
Yeah. I mean, defensively, awful. The first one, the Lafay one, defensively was one of the worst I've seen. And then, like you say, the Mellor one, maybe there's a question mark over it, but you've got to defend better than that. Whoever it was that took the carry in previously, they let him get up too quickly. He got a quick play of the ball. They were still getting set, and Mellor, you can't give them that opportunity.
There's been a lot made of how Burgess has toughened up Warrington on the edges.
Right.
But it doesn't seem to be like that when it's on Dufty's side.
Does he have a side?
No. Or when he's involved then, shall we say.
Defensively, he's dreadful. He's one of the worst I've seen.
Yeah. But Salford just keep trundling along, don't they? Can't give him enough praise, really, at the minute.
No, they're doing, really well. Paul Rowley's doing an excellent job.
And staying?
For now.
Till Rowan Smith gets sacked at the next one.
We said last week.
We did say that.
We said last week, there's three, for me as a head coach, there's three jobs in the league that I think a head coach would struggle to say no to, and that's Wigan, St. Helens and Leeds.
Yeah. So we watch this space. Mm. The other thing about that, what I thought was, one of the reasons that they give was that his family's settled in Salford, etc.
Yeah.
He can commute to Leeds.
Yeah.
Can't commute to Hull, but you can commute to Leeds.
You can.
So, we'll see.
We'll see, yeah.
Well, moving on to Hull KR. They came away with a very impressive win over the Wigan Warriors. 26 points to 10 in favour of the Rovers.
Yeah, battered them, really. It was very un-Wigan-like, I think, from what we expected this season and what we've seen this season. They got to a 10-0 lead pretty quickly, didn't they?
Yeah, they did, yeah.
I can't remember who scored the first try.
Was Gildart
the second try?
Gildart was second, and it was the forward,
was
Sewer.
Yeah.
Sewer. That's right. So they got off to a flyer, really. Got 10 luck really quickly.
Can I tell you a little story about him? Jesse
prop.
Sue?
Yeah.
He was in the Samoa in the World Cup in 2013.
All right.
And he got sent off. And I made the case, because I was working with Samoa, and I made the case for his appeal.
Right.
And it got overturned.
Well done.
Thanks. And I got him off. And then he played against Papua New Guinea and scored a try.
He did what, sorry?
He scored against Papua New Guinea and scored a try.
No, before that.
What?
You got him off.
Yep.
Ah.
Stop it. Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Wasn't that sort of World Cup.
Otherwise, he'd have won.
Yeah, as you said there, Colin, going back to the game, yeah, they, not only did they get to a 10-0 start, 10-0 pretty quickly, but they were 18-0 up by half time. And we've said for a while, you know, your teams like your St. Helens, your Wiggins, your Catalans, and I think you can start to throw Hull KR into that mix. I mean, more or less any team, but when you've got a Hull KR at home, if you give a team a 3-try lead like that, it's very, very hard to come back from.
Yeah.
There's some teams in the league where you think, oh, they might fight that back, but Hull KR at home, they're a different team, and you give any Hull KR team 18-0 in that ground, and you're very unlikely to come back.
They're a top five team, so...
Yeah. Very, very hard to come back from that.
Got to talk about this. I watched the highlights on YouTube, yeah? So Wigan have lost a game, which they haven't done many of lately, have they, really? They haven't...
No.
You know, they haven't lost many games lately for the last year, really.
I think it's the second loss in about a year.
So do you want to hear this comment on YouTube from a Wigan fan?
Mm.
Truly appalling from a consummate professional outfit like Wigan claimed to be. What has happened to the famous defence? How many times will we be caught behind the play with the ball? What is this kind of attacking structure? They may as well drop Kieran and Miskit and replace them with two of the many forwards in the squad. Baffling. Something is not right.
Right. Bit of an overreaction.
Yeah.
To be fair, they've come in for some criticism, Kieran and Miskit. I've seen that from a few people.
Yeah.
I've seen that from a few
people. Thinking, like, calm down, mate. You've just lost a game.
Well, they've still got a game in hand, they win that at the top of the league.
Exactly that. Amazing. The pass from French was the highlight for Wigan in this game.
Yeah,
the rainbow pass over to the wing to Miskit, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely delightful.
Seems to come with a good pass every week, doesn't he? Seems to.
Yeah,
seems to have really nailed the six position.
I do have to comment on our friend of the pod, Steve Orford, with his Saints blog. In his Saints blog, Thompson knocked on near the line.
Oh yeah,
and Steve commented in his blog that. Great juggling skills from Thompson. He wouldn't have dropped it if it had been 30 pieces of silver.
That's a very good line.
Which I thought was a brilliant line, Steve. So well done, Steve. Brilliant.
Yeah, I like that. And I think just to sort of come back to Wigan there, I think very similar to Catalans, maybe. Bad day at the office, write it off and crack on with the rest of the season, I think.
Yeah, I think it was summed up at the end with the Tanganoa try, where everybody had stopped.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he picks it up and, like, looked around, and then they go like, right, I'm off, which has produced all sorts of memes this week, hasn't it, about him being in front of such of Usain Bolt and Rocky and all sorts of stuff, hasn't it? Yeah.
Funny. So. It led to an important question. How much head start?
It was. Yeah, that was one of my only in rugby leagues, but we'll do it now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I just wanted a meme of like him running in front of Bobby by about 50 yards.
Head me running in front of him.
Maybe that's what he'd switched off for in his wedding rehearsal.
I wonder how much that
I'd against the Tanganoa, yeah. That's a good 70 metres, I think. Good 60 metres, I think, that. 60, I'd go for there.
60.
65.
Sure?
65.
Okay, I'll go with that then.
Yeah. Okay.
Hit the pair here. Finally, to wrap up our round 9, ironically, it's the game that started off round 9, we go to St. Helens, where they just about got through the Huddersfield Giants, 13 points to 12.
Again, Huddersfield got off to a flyer, didn't they? Did they go 10-0? 12-0.
Did they
get both kicks?
Yeah.
12-0, I think Swift and
Nagama,
the two ex-Saints boys.
Yeah. Retired Kevin Nagama.
I can't even say it. Yeah. Retired Kevin Nagama and,
Adam Swift.
Adam Swift getting the points, getting them early. Again, it was another game where Saints looked really slow out the blocks. It's not the first time we've seen it this season either, I don't think. they managed to turn things around a little bit. They got the Tommy Makinson intercept, and that really swung the game for them. They didn't really look back after that, because I thought, because it was pretty close-ish to half-time, wasn't it, I think?
Yeah.
So they managed to go 12-6 at half-time, and then the second half, though it was all Saints, they just, again, can't put any points on the board. Their attack is easy to read. There's not a lot of runners. It's slow. They can't get the points on, but territorially, it was all them.
Yeah.
And we said this against that Hull game last week, didn't we, about we don't know what to make of Saints' attack after that game.
Well,
I think we do now.
Yeah.
I was listening to Ian Watson's comments after the game, and he was something that I hadn't really thought about. It's quite obvious, really, is that Saints only broke Huddersfield down with an interception and a scoop.
To be honest, Huddersfield were the masters of their own downfall, or Jake Connor was, anyway. He completely imploded.
Yeah, he did. He's very, very easy to wind up, isn't he?
Definitely. Well,
he lost the boxing match against Morgan Knowles, didn't he, first of all? But you know what? So Connor grabs his shirt and Knowles lashes out at him,
sort of
to get
him
off. Yeah, and then Connor's like turned away and completely ignored the play, which is criminal in itself, really.
Well, it cost
it?
The try then.
Yeah.
Because he would have followed from second marker.
Was it a penalty?
I don't think so. I think it was more of a get off me, miss, shove type thing.
Yeah.
Those things go on all the time.
Yeah.
And those things have gone on for years and years and years in the game where nobody's took a blind bit of notice.
Yeah. There was a couple of incidents where I thought, oh, he has, you know, he's, you know, give him a tap or whatever. And, you know, you could argue there that, you know, maybe they should have had a penalty for that. But that instance, the one that he cost the try on, no, I agree with Callum. I think he's all over him. I think it's just a miscued sort of get off me kind of thing. And I'm just trying to play the ball. I don't think Morgan Knowles has any intention of trying to actually hit him or anything like that. So, yeah, I think it's just a poor bit of play from Connor there, and I think you play to the whistle. I think, you know, oldest rule in not just rugby league, but any sport is you play to the whistle.
Yeah.
Simple as.
I do think if Huddersfield have had Ethan Masters playing, might have been a different result.
I think they would have won. Jake Beery was awful.
Yeah.
He dropped the ball two or three times when they had the overlap. All they had to do was take it and run.
I think they could have been out of sight if he'd have been playing.
I think you're right.
The form he's been in.
I think
you're really right. And then just at the end, they got it back to 12 all. And then there was a strange passage of play right at the very end, wasn't there? Where Mbaye goes for the drop goal. Mbaye goes for the drop goal, which is blatantly charged down.
Yep.
Yeah.
How can it not be charged down? And the referee says, no, it's still the last.
Mm.
In which they sort of panic to get back to Lomax, who then puts a brilliant drop goal in from distance. Mm. But if that goes back to one, Saints aren't doing that, are they? There's about 50 seconds left.
Yeah. No.
So they're going through the set again to set up again, aren't they, somewhere?
Well, yeah.
They're not doing it then.
No.
But that's actually, that what I would class as a blatant mistake has actually won them the game.
You can see Darrell Clark flicking his hand behind his back because he wants a runner to come back in on the inside.
Right.
Because it's like, well, it must be six again. Everybody, bar the referee, thinks that's six again.
Yeah.
Well, I think I said to Callum earlier in the week as well, I said, you know, not only does it affect St. Helens point of view of actually, you know, like you just said, Andy, you know, setting up to do this in a couple more tackles, but I think it also threw Huddersfield completely off guard in the sense that they were expecting it to be back to one, so they didn't feel the need to charge down Johnny Lomax.
You can see when Clark goes like that, puts his hand behind his back, somebody comes steaming on, and it might be Matty Lees, and you can see Huddersfield's defence look at him and go, oh, well, they must be going back on the inside because he is flying through. Mm. And it makes them stutter. And you can see them stop.
Yeah.
And then he flings it to Lomax and they go, oh, crap.
Yeah. It's not back to one.
And it's that little stutter that makes them, that costs them the game. But and I don't know how he's not give back to one. To
no, honest. I don't. Very, yeah.
An interesting round, though, there. All in all, I thought, this week.
Yeah, very interesting.
It's Bobby's Stats of the Week.
Yes, Stats of the Week time.
Yes, hello.
Hello. Hey.
Yes, I have six this week.
Excellent.
Quite a few from Australia this week, though. There was quite a lot happening. So the first stat comes on the Thursday, and that was, it was the 21st time in NRL history that two teams had scored 50 plus points on the same day, but it was the first time in 10 years.
Okay, then.
Ricky Stewart has become the fifth coach in NRL history to coach 500 NRL games. He joins Tim Sheens, Craig Bellamy, Wayne Bennett, and Brian Smith.
Because he keeps getting on to the NRL, like we said last week, are they changing the rules?
He's coached 500, but I was interested to look it up, but Wayne Bennett is ahead of all of them in games coached. He's coached 920 NRL games.
He definitely wants to get to that 1,000 before he retires, I think, doesn't he?
Yeah. You've got to at this point, haven't you?
I think he wants to, doesn't he? Yeah.
Got to. Stat number three. The Raiders have been kept scoreless for the first time in 277 games.
Wow.
The last time they failed to score in a match was round two of 2013. Stat number four doesn't get any easier for your side, the Bunnies, Callum, as they have never won in Melbourne. In their history of the NRL, they have lost all 19 games against the Storm in Melbourne.
Yeah, well, anywhere this season. Actually, breaking news as we're coming on air is that they're parting ways with Jason Demetriou.
Oh, are they? I didn't see that. Has that just been announced this morning?
Yeah, though? It just looks like that's the looks like that's what's happening. Yeah.
No surprise there, really. Okay, next stat, number five, is St. Helens, as we just finished on, ended Huddersfield's winning streak of five games in all competitions. Huddersfield are obviously looking for a sixth consecutive win. However, five games is their longest winning streak since they won six games back in 2018. So they haven't managed to get past that fifth consecutive win in over 6 years now. Okay. Which is
surprising.
Yeah. And finally, have either of you managed to have a look at the top of the championship table this week?
No.
Well, we've got a very interesting game this week, and it's Wakefield taking on Sheffield.
Yeah.
Now, both teams are top of the championship.
Yeah.
They both have 6 wins and 12 points. They've both conceded 62 points. However, Wakefield have scored 216 points and Sheffield have scored 214 points.
Brilliant.
So Wakefield go into the game as top of the league by a goal kick.
That would make a better viewing spectacle on some of the, than some of the Sky games this weekend.
Mm. Setting up like it should be an absolute cracker, that game.
Yeah. Definitely.
And that's it. That's the stats of the week.
Well done.
Excellent.
You call that a knife? This is a knife.
That's not a knife. That's a spoon.
Yes, NRL time very quickly. And I'm just going to run through the scores. If you've got anything to join in with, please do so. Thursday night we saw two teams claim another guaranteed no premiership win this year, as the Storm put 54 points over 20 on the Bunnies. Sorry, Callum.
It's just been announced there that Ben Hornby will take control of the team as interim head coach for the remainder of the 2024 season.
Oh, okay. Interesting. So the Bunnies have a new coach. Maybe it'll change things, but no team, as we know, has ever won the NRL after conceding 50-plus points in a match. So looking like it won't be the Bunnies. Another team that claimed it was the Dragons. They went down 60 points to 18 to the Roosters. And Andy, it's happened. It's finally happened. The Titans have won a game. 27-24 over the New Zealand Warriors.
Easy. Tied with them for 80 minutes. Puts us above the Bunnies, I think.
Yeah, it does, yeah. The soon-to-be premiers, Manly, beat the Eels 32-18. The Broncos beat the Tigers 34-10. The Panthers 26, Cowboys 20. Dolphins 14, the Newcastle Knights 18. And from my earlier stats, the Raiders 0, the Cronulla Sharks 40.
Excellent. That last game?
No, that's the last game.
Brilliant.
What you talking about? Yeah, just, it looks this week as though Lewis Dodd is on his way to the South Sydney Rabbitohs. I think it looks like it's already happened, but it's just not been announced. Mm. If we assume that that's the right thing, yeah, is that a surprise?
Very. Very much so, yeah.
Apparently, four-year deal with the Bunnies. I'm assuming that the Bunnies knew they were going to part ways with Jason Demetriou.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's going to be an issue in terms of like whether things change or not. I wouldn't have imagined, because to all intents and purposes, according to several rugby league journalists, it looks like it's already happened.
Yeah.
It's already been, you know, signed, sealed and delivered.
Yeah.
What do you make of it?
It is a shock, especially, 3 or 4 weeks ago, there's reports that he's turned down 4 NRL clubs. Mm. And, you know, I know he's only a young lad and he had a big injury last year. I wouldn't say he'd done enough to get to the NRL, and certainly wouldn't say he's the man to turn around the Bunnies' misfortunes.
This has been something that's... he's been after since the scoring the drop goal that won Saints the World Club Challenge against the Panthers, isn't it?
He's living off that, to be honest.
Yeah, but he's been after this move, hasn't he, since then?
Yeah, I think. And I get it. You know, yeah. It's a lot of players' dreams to go and play in the NRL, and you know, those that do manage to get a team over there, good luck to them. But this is, for me, is a real surprise, because I don't think he's been anywhere near that level.
He's very divisive among St. Helens fans as well, I notice.
Mm.
You know, some Saints fans think, he's played really well, he's done much better this season. Even Paul Sculthorpe was a little bit damning of him in one of his columns the other week, where he said that he's got absolutely no running game whatsoever and spends most of his time kicking from behind the defensive line.
There was a spell... maybe 4 or 5 weeks, well, probably 3 or 4 weeks into the season, where he had a couple of weeks where he looked really good and looked like he was going to find form and really turn things around. But, you know, maybe not being helped by the current setup at St. Helens, you know, with saying that they're struggling to score points. But where does that come from? Is he playing under instruction and playing to what his coach wants him to do? Or does it basically boil down to the fact he's not that good, or he's not fit? Or
be interesting to see how he develops in that environment, the NRL,
surely he'll improve.
Yeah.
But what's his level? How much can he improve?
Well, that brings me to the second part of the talk to me about, which is about English backs that have gone over to the NRL. Because as a as a country, like forwards have been brilliant.
Yeah,
forwards have been great, and forwards, English forwards that have been playing in the NRL have made the cornerstone of the international pack now for the last few years.
Yeah,
and forwards, and let's be honest, in the NRL, if you can, if you're a forward that doesn't drop the ball, you've got plenty of size about you, and you can tackle all day, you've got a good chance of success, I think.
Yeah.
Backs, our backs never seem to be big enough, if that makes sense. The first thing I always think about Australian backs is that the size of the three-quarter line.
Yeah.
The physical size. You know, I think of like the Morris twins and things like this, where they're absolutely huge specimens of men, you know?
Mm. Especially when you look at like the World Cup stage and you look at some of these Samoans and Tongans.
Absolutely,
and,
right.
You know, Moses Sule, who, I was he a centre? Like,
yeah, exactly.
He looks like a second rower. But, he's...
Yeah, but our backs, you can name a few that haven't. I mean, Sam Tompkins is probably one of the best players that Super League's seen. Had a miserable spell at the Warriors.
Mm.
You know? Williams is probably about the closest. I mean, we were talking about this yesterday, Callum, weren't we? And you said that Williams is probably about the closest that's come to. But he just wanted to come home, I think, didn't he?
Yeah. He's the closest in terms of having gone from over here.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you look at Gareth Widdop, Herbie Farnworth at the minute. Well, they've grown up in that system and that environment, so it's slightly different.
Yeah.
Even someone like Dom Young wasn't really over here that long.
Yeah, Young's probably... Yeah, but having said it, I think he might have been like 18 or something when he went over there. I don't know, but... In terms of like actually broke through and being a Super League star, but Williams is like probably the closest. Yeah.
But when you look at others, Gildart, they've been back within 12 months.
Yeah.
Ryan Hall.
Yeah. He went at the wrong stage of his career.
He spent 2 years and didn't. I think he played maybe one, two games for the Roosters. I don't think he got that many games out of it.
Will Price, I don't think, has made an appearance yet, has he? Or
not
maybe
yet.
A few,
no.
If, yeah?
No, not yet.
Who else? Hardacre. He went. Who was the other one that you said before, Callum? Before we came on air,
Dan Sargentson.
Yeah,
yeah. He went
Jordan
to the
Titans.
Callum Watkins.
Callum Watkins.
He went out there as a centre. I know he's a second rower now, but he went out there as a centre.
The problem is that their cap is so much bigger. They can go, well, we can take a chance on it.
Yeah, exactly that. So just before you sort of, you know, go on to that. Obviously, I've just got a few sort of numbers here for you, if you like. Mm. You assume that if Lewis Dodd does go to the Rabbitohs, it would come to a time for Lachlan Ilias to potentially find a new club, or
maybe,
you know, or however they're going to work it. You'd assume he's the replacement for Lachlan Ilias, or because he's come under quite a lot of fire from the Rabbitohs, hasn't he?
Yeah.
So you've got you've got you know the about 2 years in between them both. Ilias is 24, Dodd 22. Ilias has only played 53 NRL games compared to with a 53% win rate.
It's quite a lot for NRL games, though.
Mm.
When you're talking that their big thing is 300.
Yeah.
For 24 years old, 53, there's quite a lot of games, really.
Yeah.
Because they don't have any cup or anything, do they?
No. Dodd's played 75 games for St. Helens with a 74% win rate.
Yeah.
Ilias has managed 10 tries and 45 points in his NRL career. Dodd's currently on 26 tries and 132 points for St. Helens. The only thing that Ilias has over Dodd, if you like, is he's represented in the World Cup. Ilias playing for Greece.
I could have played for Greece.
But what,
I could have got knocked out for Greece. Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's played in the he's played
smash
in a,
plates all over the guy.
He's played in a World Cup stage, so that's about the only thing that Ilias says.
Mussel-tot, that's what he'll be saying on the. That's Jewish, isn't it? Not Greek.
Yeah,
Greek Jews.
Yeah. So yeah, just a couple of numbers around the two players there. If Dodd does go over.
I always think as well that the scrutiny on NRL halfbacks is tenfold to any other position.
Seems to be a shortage of halfbacks all around.
I mean, when you look at things, that you look at the stick that people like, I'm thinking like Luke Brooks, for example, the stick that he had.
Yeah.
And I think he was quite a good player.
Yeah.
But the stick that he had was incredible. And if you, I think at the minute, if you throw in Dodd into that environment on that.
Nathan Cleary's been slated when he plays at Origin level.
Yeah.
Like, he's best
off. Luai gets slated all the time.
Absolutely hammered at Origin level. I know it's sort of, so it's kind of different, but Cleary's the best seven in the world. And he's getting absolutely hammered when it comes to Origin.
Luai gets hammered if you only play with Cleary.
Yeah.
Reynolds has come in for loads of stick over the years. So I think even more so than backs, I think being a halfback is an even more daunting proposition, I think, for any English.
Everyone looks at you, don't they?
Absolutely. Well, we'll see, but it looks like it's going to happen anyway. So
yeah,
and I hope he does go well. Good, you know, good luck to him if he does go over, because it's always good to see English talent go over there and show them what we can do.
Well, it can only benefit us for the international game if he does. So
exactly that.
Yeah, exactly. What you talking about? Yes, it's time for everybody's favourite Only in Rugby League, which means I shall hand over to Andy.
I actually thought it was going to be a quiet week again, and I say that every week, but it's not. So let's start off on Sky. Let's start off with, some acknowledgement and a big thank you this week. To Connor, to Forbidden Game, to Bri, to Sammy, to Wrench, to Dean, to Tom, to Johnny, amongst others. And if I've missed you out, I apologise, but there's plenty of people sent all sorts in this week. Just a quick update. Bri has been spotted shopping for dresses and heels this week for his interview with Danica Prim. But apart from that, let's start off with Brian Carney. Pointing out this week that Salford got away with it last week in the south of France with a 12-4 win. not quite sure how far London has moved, but it's obviously now in the south of France.
it's been so cold.
Huddersfield Giants saying that Ikehio had the best game ever.
Ooh, sorry?
I can't even say it properly.
I don't know who you mean.
I've come the new.
Hey, no, you have to say it.
No, I can't. No, you know what I mean.
No, I don't.
Ikehiko.
I can't even say it properly. I can't say it properly.
An Abbasan.
Yep. Ikehiko, you and I know. You say it for me then.
Ikehiko.
That's it. Ikehiko. I like that. I've chuckled. Brilliant. Anyway, Ikehiko. As his best game ever on Friday for the Giants, as they pointed out. It's no wonder, because he must have been playing for 24 hours as soon as they played on Thursday. So his stats would have been good on Friday, I think, compared to everybody else's. Yeah. This week, Super League website, who have not covered themselves in glory this week, I'll be honest, have pointed out this week, busy weekend for St. Helens this week. On Saturday, they play Hull KR away at 3 p.m. and they also play Lee away at 5 p.m. They're going to have to take the helicopter down there quick, aren't they?
That is.
Who are they playing first?
Hull KR.
Right.
Away at 3 and then they're playing Lee away at 5.
Oh, right.
So, big dash for the fans, that.
Lee are all right, though. They'll be tired.
Let's go to the NRL. This was a good one. Matty Johns was interviewing Cam McInnes. Did you see this?
Oh, I think I did see it.
No, I haven't seen
Cam McInnes was like, he was in the wars a little bit, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And they asked, he was like, he's all his eye was red and everything. He was cutting everywhere. And they said, how many stitches have you had over the years? And he's like, he said, I don't know, but I've already had 5 tonight and it's not enough. I need some more. And which they went over to, I think it was Nathan Hindmarsh, who then said, you look like a Chucky doll. For the second week in succession, the wrong button was pressed. And again, try or no try. So the penalty try this week at Salford, first of all, came up as no try. And boos rang around the AJ Bell Stadium, quickly turned to cheers when it changed to a try. Absolutely amazing, isn't it? Like that. Oh, Hull KR. Let's go to Hull KR because they've got a new mascot. We're always up for a bit of mascot talk, aren't we? They've got a new mascot that's dressed like a house brick.
Oh, I did see that, yeah.
Bricky the mascot. I don't know what his name is. I'm just calling him Bricky, but or Brickhead or
who's this?
Don't know.
Who's got a new mascot? Sorry,
okay, Brickhead the mascot.
Brickhead the mascot.
Football one, Ipswich Town wished good luck by their sponsors this week in their game, their promotion chasing game against Hull FC.
Oh, it's yeah.
Ipswich Sports.
Yeah.
Well, they're not very good at rugby league, are they? Well,
the good news for Hull FC was that they kept them down to three. So, every cloud. I had to laugh at this one. It was brilliant. Castleford. Get your London at home tickets from any one of our ambassador businesses. And then they showed this picture of this like Great Preston Snooker Club that looked like something out of Phoenix Nights, where you could just buy your season, where you could buy your match tickets from. It was amazing.
Come and get your season tickets.
It was.
They're on offer till December.
Brilliant.
Who was that? Which club was that?
Castleford. Castleford, yeah.
Come
Great
again,
Preston
Snickers.
Classic.
Let's go over back to the Super League website. Warrington, they had a busy weekend. This weekend, though, they lost 17-12 to Lee. To Salford, sorry, and then lost 30 points to 2 to Lee. Mm. So they had a busy weekend and not a good one. They lost two matches in a day.
Dropped 4 points in one weekend.
Sam Burgess is fuming.
That's right, he's going south now.
Yeah. Let's go to Huddersfield, who have put an advert on for another job this week. And they want a volunteer minibus driver to go along. What was the other one?
A scout.
Volunteer scout driving the volunteer, driving the minibus.
Delivering
posters for Lee.
Yeah. Honestly.
And let's go to Lee. Let's stay in Lee, who published their team sheets this week against Catalans, who have changed head coach this week. From Steve McManaman to Matty Pete.
Oh, yeah, I saw that one.
Yeah, so Matty Pete is now the head coach of Catalans, according to Lee. let's go back to the NRL. The New Zealand Warriors. What's the winger called, Bobby?
Dallin Watney-Selesniak.
That's the one. If you look on this week, you'll see a commentator that goes, Lesniak, and then the next time he gets the ball, it's Luznak. And then the next one is Luzniak. He had more trouble than I had saying Ikehiko. We're going to go to us this week, only in rugby league. We predicted that Paul Rowley would leave Salford, and then before we'd even publish the pod, he was staying.
Yeah.
That was bad. Out-of-date news straight away. But
still a good listen.
It was.
Still a good listen.
This is divided, people. Saints advertising that they're off to Humberside this week.
And oh, yeah.
People have saying, well, no, because they're off to a non-existent county.
Right.
It upsets people in Hull, doesn't it? Humberside.
Do they not have a BBC Radio Humberside?
Yeah.
So is the BBC wrong as well, then?
Don't know. I need to investigate this more, but people have been up in arms about it.
What, saying that...
It doesn't exist.
I'm saying it does, so...
Brilliant. We're going to the RFL. The RFL, I've said this week, they've advertised the Wheelchair Challenge Cup this weekend, that starts this weekend, including the newly qualifiers Edinburgh and the Hereford Harriers. Unfortunately, they must be getting another chance because Hereford Harriers played their game and lost 84-12 to Leeds last weekend.
Oh, right.
So maybe they've been as a lucky loser.
Second bite of the cherry.
Second bite, exactly. We're going across back to Australia, and we're going across to Blake Ferguson.
Oh, yeah.
For the Curry Curry Bulldogs, who's played...
What a name! Isn't it?
Who's played one game... and had his contract ripped up for off-the-field activities.
Oh, no.
One game. And several allegations. So he's had more allegations than games. Allegedly, he'd been texting the daughter of one of his teammates. Oh, allegedly.
No. He's the Wonga Blake of Bush football.
Brilliant. We're gonna stay in the NRL. Did you see this week? I think it's Fox NRL, isn't it? The commentator Paul Kent.
Oh yeah,
involved yes. in a brawl.
Yeah,
this week he caught some controversy. That bloke, didn't he?
Done it just.
But what I was thought was what amused me was on the video. He has this brawl outside this club and ends up on his head. It ends up landing on his head in
ragdolled, didn't it? Got absolutely ragdolled.
His feet were up on the trunk of the tree and his head's on the ground.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's been stood down. But again. Good luck to Paul. We're going to stay in the NRL. Lewis Dodd. Were reported to join the Rabbitohs. Wigan's Lewis Dodd.
Oh, yeah.
Was reported to join that. Jai Arrow, though, the Rabbitohs forward. You could say he's not impressed that much with the signing. Do you want to know what Jai Arrow said?
Yeah, sure.
He just said, nah, sorry, to be honest, I don't know anything about him. Never heard of him. I know he's a young kid in the Super League. He must be doing some good things if he's caught the eye of the club. I don't know anything about him. Lewis Dodd, is it? Sorry? And Colin Matangi also said the same thing.
There's an
arrogance, though, isn't
there? Yeah, exactly.
I'm not being funny. Last year, he came over to Australia and dropped a match-winning goal against your reigning premiers.
Yeah.
Like, maybe look him up a bit before, you know, you start making your comments.
Before you do that, yeah. Yep, totally agree. Mm-hmm. I got sent this from our friend at Forbidden, whose mate sent him a reality check this week on Twitter from Warrington. And it just says, reality check, Warrington. Beaten in every department, soaked in beer for a no try, swung at in the concourse, laughed at by Gil Dudson. An average day supporting Warrington.
Didn't Gil Dudson used to play for them, like, either at the start of the season or halfway through? Did he move on halfway, a couple of games in?
Yeah.
Absolute classic. Good one from the NRL. We're going to stay there. You know those signs that you say where you say, can I have your shirt?
Oh, yeah.
Did you see the one this week for Rhys Walsh?
No.
There was a little kid saying, Rhys Walsh, I don't want your shirt, but I'll trade it for some lollies or jellies. And this little kid had stuck like this sign, can I have your shirt or boots, and I'll trade you for these lollies. And he'd stuck all these packets of these lollies and these dolly mixtures and everything, saying, I'll trade you for your shirt.
Did he see it?
I don't know if he saw it or not. I hope he did.
I hope he did.
I hope he did and took the whole lot of jellies. Yeah.
And then gave him them sweets.
Yeah. And then didn't give him his shirt.
Yeah.
Workington this week. Workington. This is an odd one, this. So what Workington have said, ladies game, 4 p.m. Watch the ladies rip in. Except they'd put RIP. Watch the ladies RIP in. Right? P.S. Happy hour, £2.50 a pint until kickoff.
R.I.P. to a few then. Yeah.
We're going to go to London. A couple more. We're going to go to London. Didn't cover themselves in glory on social media this week. That sent a message to Castleford that said, please can you let us know when we can unmute you?
Oh, yeah.
And
then there was a response from Sheffield Eagles. And Sheffield Eagles then said, there's a time and a place. Like, You'd think if you were getting hammered, you'd leave the banter alone for a few days, wouldn't you?
Wouldn't you just? They're right, though.
Brilliant. And then the last one this week takes a bit of explaining. The last one this week, BBC, I've got Huddersfield versus Salford down at 8 p.m. kickoff. It's 7:45, so you'll miss the first 15 minutes if you rock up for then. So don't do that. And Sky have had the same thing as well. They've put that on, and they've also put that May the 4th lasts 2 days. There's no games on Sunday this week. Lee versus Catalans had actually played Saturday, so don't turn up Sunday because it's not there. And then they've changed it. And then when they've changed it then, to say Huddersfield versus Salford is now 7:55 and not 7:45, and it's on Action and not Arena, as they've said, despite them changing it twice on the internet.
Wow.
So apart from that, they've almost got it right.
It's on telly, channel sometime. Just flick through for an hour.
Anywhere between 7:45 and 8 o'clock, you'll find the game.
Just keep flicking through. You'll come across it.
And that was Only in Rugby League.
Brilliant. Every week.
The Only in Rugby League podcast predictions league, six again.
Yes, the Predictions League is here, which means we're joined by Bri from Six Again. Bri, how are we this week?
Not too bad, boys. How are you, Newt Newt?
Newt Newt. Newt, yes, very well. Thank you very much. Right, we'll jump straight into it, if that's okay. Do you want to give us a quick update on the league table, Bri?
Yeah, I don't think anyone wants to know about the league table after last week. Only four got into double figures. the lowest score we had was 2 by Hull FC and the Insiders. And the highest score we had was 13 by Hull KR.
It was a poor week all round, wasn't it?
Bit of a poor week. Most either stayed where they were, went up 1 or went down 1 or went up 2. But Huddersfield went down 5 last week. They dropped to 9th. Callum, you're now in 8th. You're only 12 points off the top. You're a point behind Bobby, who's in 6th. You didn't move Bobby. I went up 2. I'm in 5th. I'm a point above Bobby. Andy, you're in 4th. 2 points above me. You went up 1. And we have new leaders. They only got 6 points last week, but they've now gone top. And it's St. Helens on 176.
Yeah. Okay.
Excellent.
This week, for Castleford, we've got Steve. For Catalan, we've got Dean. For Huddersfield, we've got Cowbell. For Hull FC, we've got Karen. For KR, we've got Stacey. For Leeds, we've got Jordan. For Lee, we've got Carrie. For London, we've got Ian. For Salford, we've got Louise. For Saints, we've got Johnny Lou. For Warrington, we've got a loose wire. For Wigan, we've got Gary. And this week is the start of the Learner Disability Super League. It's on Sunday. It's in Leeds. It's free to go. It's between 10 and 1. And I've decided to get Liam Fox, the Learner Disability Super League witness Vikings player, back.
Okie dokie, welcome
for the Insiders.
Welcome back, yeah.
Brilliant. Are we ready then, boys?
Yes.
First game up on Thursday. It's Wigan v Catalan. It's on Sky Sports Arena at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, first time Wigan have been at home for a long time, as I keep seeing doing the rounds. I think they'll put on a bit of performance. Not sure who Catalan have got back or who they've got missing, to be honest, but I'm going to say Wigan by 14.
I'm going to go Wigan by 12.
Wigan by 18.
Did you not get me text, Callum? Wigan by 14.
Absolute. Can't even finish what I was going to say.
So that makes 3 of us on Wigan by 14 with Hull KR. We've got 3 on Wigan by 10 with from Wigan, the Insiders and Hull FC. And there's only one who've gone for Catalan. And that's Dean for Catalan, who's gone Catalan by 4.
Okay.
Next up, it's on Friday. It's 7:45. Just keep an eye on that, because others are saying 8 o'clock. But no, it's 7:45. It's on Sky Sports Arena and Super League Plus. It's Huddersfield v Salford.
It's actually a really tricky game. From what we've seen from Huddersfield the last couple of weeks, been playing better. But Salford have... the win over Warrington, they just keep going on, don't they? So with how hit and miss Huddersfield can be, I think I'm going to edge it to Salford. I'm going to go Salford by 8.
I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to go Huddersfield by 8.
I'll go Huddersfield 6 then.
Oh, Callum. I've gone Huddersfield by 5.
5?
No, you haven't.
5?
I have.
No, you haven't. I have.
Huddersfield
no,
by
haven't.
5.
Don't lie.
I'm not. Huddersfield by 5, and I'll give me explaining. I reckon Mark Sneed's going to do a drop goal in the first half.
Okay.
And then Huddersfield will win by 5. Yeah, simple as.
Thanks for that explanation, Brian.
Yeah, it's all right. Callum, you, yeah, you know, I just thought I'd mix it up a little bit. There's now 3, you've gone Salford by 6. They're the insiders, Wigan and Salford. It was a bit of a mixed bag on this one. A few are 2-2 have gone Salford by 4. Mm. So, and most have gone Huddersfield, but realistically, again, between 6 and 8.
Yeah, it could go either way, this one, I think. Tricky one.
Next up, on Friday at 8 o'clock, it's on Sky Sports Mix and Super League Plus. It's at 8 o'clock Friday, Leeds v London.
Yeah, I'll go. I think they've got to come good. I think this week Leeds they need to, as we spoke about earlier on. So I'll go Leeds by 44.
Okay, I'll go Leeds by 48.
I'm going to go Leeds 36,
and I've gone Leeds by 32. Bobby, you're now the highest that we've got for Leeds. Everyone's gone Leeds. Andy, you're not the only one who's gone Leeds by 44. Waddington have gone Leeds by 44. Ugh. But we do have a Leeds by 6. And that's from Johnny Lewis, St. Helens.
Oh, Johnny.
He's only just gone to top of the league. What's he trying to do?
He's been out of the country for a bit. He's out of the loop. He's out of the loop, isn't he? Yeah.
Well, we've seen what happened with Paulie Bulger last week. He only got 2 points.
Yeah.
Next up, last game on Friday. It's at 8 o'clock. It's on Sky Sports Action. It's Waddington v Hull FC.
I know what we were saying before about what was the phrase you used for Hull? Green shoots
of recovery.
Yeah, that's not happening. I'm going to go Warrington by 34.
I was just about to say that.
Yeah, well.
I'm going Warrington by 26.
I'll go Warrington by 36 then.
And I've gone Warrington by 28. Everyone's gone Waddington. We've got the highest one being Waddington by 42 by Castleford. And the lowest one we've got is Waddington by 4 from Salford. Mm. 2 games on Saturday this week. The first one's at 3 o'clock. It's on Sky Sports Action and Super League Plus. It's Hull KR v St Helens.
I think Hull KR had a very impressive win over Wigan last week. And I just think we've been so judgmental of Saints' attack. I just don't see where they can potentially win this game. And I'm going Hull KR by 8.
Yeah, this is a tough one. Hull KR, great side at home, I think, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Can Saints tackle the way to victory? I'm going to say yes, they can by 6.
I'll go Saints by 8.
And I've gone Hull KR by 10. We've got 3. We've gone Hull KR by 6. We were Wigan, London and Huddersfield. Hull KR, Stacey, she's gone St Helens by 8. Oh. We've got a Hull KR by 13, which is Castleford. And Johnny Lewis definitely being out the country. St Helens by 1.
Okay.
That means he thinks they're not going to win.
Yeah. 1's the new 2.
Yeah.
And then last up, on Saturday, it's a 5:30. It's on Sky Sports Action and Super League Plus. It's Lee v Castleford.
I think Lee are back to, like, this bit, the wind's been coming for a while. They had a really good win this week. I think can't read too much into Castleford's win against London. So I think Lee by 26.
I'll go 20. Lee 20.
And I'll go Lee 24.
And I've gone Lee by 16. Callum, you are now 1-3. You've gone lead by 20 with Catalan and Huddersfield. We have a lead by 40, which is from Liam Fox, our insider. And we have one for Castleford, which is by Steve, our Cast fan, who's gone Castleford by 8.
Liam. Okay. Right. Is that it, Bri?
That's the lot, boys.
Thank you, Bri.
Excellent. Right, well, that wraps up the end of this week's show. Thank you for listening to us for all that time. And also, some big news. We made it to rugbyleague.com. They started a 24-hour rugby league radio, didn't they?
Yeah, we're on. I think we're on at 9 o'clock tonight, I think,
yes.
On Tuesdays. So, and then it's repeated on Thursdays, I think.
So you can catch us on there as well, unless you are listening to us on there, in which case,
hello. No.
Cheers. So, but as always, if you are going to any games this week, then stay safe and enjoy. But from all of us here at the Only in Rugby League podcast for this week, it's goodbye.
Bye. Bye.